The opinions and views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of Midwest Family Springfield, its management, or its advertisers.
You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
This is The Noblest Motive.
See what a scourge is laid upon your hate? That heaven finds means to kill your joys with love? And I, for winking at your discords, too, have lost a brace of kinsmen.
What?
All are punished.
What? I'm not smart enough for that.
Neither am I. Neither. That's a hard open. That's a hard open for The Noblest Motive. Hey, everybody.
It's Romeo and Juliet. Come on. Hey, this is The Noblest Motive, and The Noblest Motive is the public good. And the public good is, well, it's not only being friendly, but it's friendship. That's my favorite ship that sails the seven seas.
Gotcha.
It is the friendship.
The friendship. There are good ships. There are wood ships. I'll tell you, that was a great story written by Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet. It was great. Leo DiCaprio was fantastic in it. Great original script.
I like how they're all in the 1990s.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing so well.
Well, that's great. We have Stephanie Ashkenazi, and we go way back, and by we, I mean me and
yes.
Stephanie. Rocky does not know her from a hole in the wall.
New friends, and I guess from the outside perspective, she's cool, so we're lucky.
She's very cool. She's like a camel smoking cigarettes.
I am blushing over here, guys.
I can hear it.
And she's humble. But Stephanie, she is brilliant. Well, Stephanie, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and tell us a bit about that lovely podcast of yours as well.
Brawlers by 8.
Sure. So, hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name's Stephanie. I'm a Leo. I enjoy long walks on the beach.
Yes.
So, originally from Long Island, where Trent once resided as well. Trent and I went to elementary school together, but we probably weren't on each other's radars until middle school into high school. Weren't super close at that time either. Really got close after high school, but
gotcha.
You know, ran in the same group of friends all throughout our young days.
Did you guys ever date?
No, we did not ever date.
She was busy having her own life, and I was busy wearing denim vests. It was a different time.
No, we did not. But I currently live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been down here for just over 11 years now. I have my own podcast. It's called On the Couch Brawlers by 8. And started it, I believe it was 2019. Boy really grew with me, and I wanted to talk about it with friends. And, like, what else would have been expected from me? Like, of course, I needed to make a podcast out of it. Mm-hmm. And it turned quickly into me kind of leaning on friends to learn, you know, friends that were in different seasons of their lives. So married friends, single friends, long-term dating, newly engaged. I then brought in some friends that were, like, life coaches. And it was more of, it turned into more of a reflection of who do I want to be and who do I want to surround myself with and, you know, why do I need a man's approval to feel worthy, you know, all that stuff. This isn't a therapy session, so we won't get into that.
It but could that's be. What
it turned it, into. It definitely could. We're great listeners.
That's what it turned into, and it evolved over the years. You know, I did interviews for the first two seasons, and then I had a friend come on where we just kind of shot the shit and talked about our lives. And it's now, you know, 2024. And I've started, I have two friends here in Raleigh. They are new friends of mine. I've known them both for less than a year or just about a year. And really coming into my own of, I'm not one that has a lot of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Trent will tell you I've had guy friends most of my life, all of my life. And so I've never been like a girl's girl, but finding as cliche as it sounds, finding my tribe now at 33 and surrounding myself with just like really strong, badass women. And that's what it's transformed to now. So every week, me and these two girls, Sean and Courtney, I'll give them a shout out. We get together, we shoot the shit, we talk about our dating lives, we kind of talk about what's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly. And yeah, so that's what it's turned into over the years.
Well, that sounds fantastic. On the Couch Braless by 8. Where can you find it? All of the platforms?
Everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen to mine.
Well, that's fantastic. So that's a great segue, actually, into the topic today, which is friendship. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you had a lot of guy friends in your prior life or younger, and I akin that to my wife. Same thing with my wife. Now it is kind of reversed for her. She has a lot of great girlfriends, but what are you looking for in a friend? And has that changed over, you know, the years?
It definitely has. I mean, I think I was always drawn to female-male friendships because I felt less judged. You know, men, boys are less judgmental than women. And so I found comfort in that. I felt like I could be myself more. You know, I enjoyed the lack of drama that maybe one or two of my girlfriends had growing up, where I was like, nope, sorry, I'm going out with the guys. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And I think as I've gotten older and done so much therapy, I'm realizing that I have an issue with being vulnerable. Surprise, surprise. And so,
surprise.
I think now finding women that I can feel comfortable being vulnerable with is very important to me. You know, I still have male friendships that I do feel that I can be vulnerable in, but it's a little bit different. I don't see it as judging anymore. I see it more as females that are supportive and, you know, empathetic. So I think that also just happens with age when it comes to girls, when it comes to women, that they shy away from the judgmental part a little bit and go more into the empathetic. So that's where I find myself now. And I think that feeling safe is probably the biggest thing I look for in a friendship.
And that makes a lot of sense. But it's a serious matter finding that space to be vulnerable, but also feeling that conviction in your own self to be strong.
Yeah.
The two sides of the same coin.
This is interesting because vulnerability, I think, Steph, definitely was the pattern there with what you said, like being yourself. And that's important to me. And I think that's important to a lot of people in a good friend, like an extension of your family, somebody who you can fart in front of and, you know, maybe say things you wouldn't say to other people in front of, and there's no walls.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to trust them to keep that to themselves in a way as well. Mm-hmm. You know, not someone that's going to call someone and be like, oh, can you believe what Steph just told me? And someone that you feel that you can trust as well to really understand where you're coming from, too. I know Trent and I have had many discussions where I'm like, I feel like this is going to come out wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. And Trent knows me and Trent knows my intentions. And so what I was weary about sharing with him or saying with him that could be taken as the wrong way, you know, someone off the street would probably take it incorrectly. But since Trent knows me and my intentions and, you know, we have this friendship of trust, you know, I don't need to say that anymore. Like, I know Trent understands where I'm coming from and isn't judgmental in whatever I have to say, which is usually a lot. But I think that's important, too. Just having someone know you on a deeper level where you feel comfortable, but also have trust in them that they're going to understand you.
Trust is huge. We put that out on the show a couple of days ago. What is the best and worst trait in a friendship? And loyalty, you know, not talking behind your back, betrayal. That was like the numero uno.
Sure.
Right.
It takes those little micro transactions leading up to that breakthrough where we can say, you know what, I'm going to be who I am in front of Stephanie because I trust Stephanie. And maybe I'll be wrong, But hopefully my judgment is correct enough to where, you know what? I chose the right individual to confide my fears, my sorrows, my desires to. And we all need someone like that. But how, in your mind, Steph, how does one, especially as an adult, because when we're young, we don't have these walls built up yet. So we kind of, if you imagine building a structure, you kind of have the people in your house as you put up the walls around them. How do you make friends once you have those walls up?
Oof. I think making friends as an adult is probably one of the hardest things in the world. I am so much a homebody. I, you know, if I go out or do something, I'm very to myself. I'm living in the South. I'm still adjusting to like all the niceness. So like if you see me in a store, I have headphones on and I'm not talking to you. So that makes it just a little bit more difficult for me. Any of my friends here I made when I first moved to North Carolina, whether it be neighbors or roommates or friends of roommates, and it's kind of grown from there. Work, you know, a lot of my friends now, we may not work together, but finding friends through there. And the women that I talked about I'm doing my podcast with, it's actually, I'll give you the quick synopsis, but it kind of opened my eyes of being like, okay, there's good people out there. Like, you should seek them more often. But me and one of the ladies on the podcast, we ended up dating the same man. And we found out about each other. And I had said something to her like, well, sounds like he has great taste in men. What are you doing this afternoon? And we met up at the dog park. And now I see her like 3 or 4 times a week. And it was a weird circumstance, but I put myself in that circumstance by reaching out to her. So I think it's sitting outside of your comfort zone. You know, I could have just been like, this bitch dated the same guy as me. It's not her fault. I'm not blaming her. But okay, cool, move on to the next. But instead, I was like, you know what? Let me see if I could take this opportunity. She doesn't know me from a hole in a wall, so if it doesn't go well, I'll never have to speak or see her again. But I'm glad I did, because now, you know, I have her as a very good friend, and, you know, meeting her friends, meeting people through that, and finding someone by mistake that I never thought I can be vulnerable and trust so easily and so quickly. So I think it's, to answer your question, maybe a little more specific, it's being vulnerable and putting yourself out there in situations where it may turn out you get a friend out of it, and it may just be a shot in the dark. It doesn't happen. But if you don't put yourself in that situation, you'll never make friends. Mm-hmm. But it is difficult. I mean, been here for 11 years and I still struggle with it, but it happens organically.
Well, it's definitely different how you find a friend when you're younger. When you're younger, you're thrown in these group situations and you're kind of forced to make friends. When you're older, you're not forced to make friends. So you, like you said, you can or you can't, and you have to be open. I throw a wide net. So I make friends really easily as an adult. My wife is very like specific, you know, it takes a long time for her to open up. And, you know, that's just kind of her way. And the friends that she does have are very close friends, you know, very serious friendships, long friendships. And I have friends from every, like, close friends from every town I've ever lived in, every place I've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this naturally segues into something that we've all spoken about to me. We've individually spoken with me concerning. We use this term friends very loosely. It's a very loose term. And I would like to hear both of your thoughts on this. I think that when what we call our friends are actually our acquaintances most often times. And I think that the people that we call our best friends are actually just our friends. Because I think that so often we use terms like, oh, that's my friend. That's my friend from, when was the last time you spoke with him?
Right.
How much does he, if I called him right now and was like, oh, what's Freddie doing? How much is he going to know about what Freddie's actually doing right now?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because my wife has a great way of looking at this. She talks about relevant friends. So you have tons of friends throughout your life that you make, but your relevant friends are usually the one that are in your day-to-day circle. You know what I mean?
Right. And just it's the same thing as when I say my friends know what's going on in my life.
Right, right. But just because you don't keep up with them on the day-to-day, I still think that that is a friendship. You know, it still remains a friendship.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, cool. Stephanie, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm torn on this. That's why I started laughing when Trent was getting into it, because I know exactly where he was going. I think they're totally different levels of friendship.
Yeah.
And I think I agree more with Trent in terms of acquaintances. You know, there's certain things that I expect out of a friend, and not to toot my own horn, but if I know one thing about me, it's that I am a good friend. So I go above and beyond with all of my relationships, romantic friendships, family relationships. I just am always going above and beyond. I don't know how else to be. And I think that's kind of been a detriment to myself, because I expect so much from other people. Mm-hmm. So if they don't meet that threshold of, you know, if someone passes, are they going to send flowers to me, or are they going to call me and or send me a card or something like that? That is a friend. You know, they may not be a best friend, but it's someone that knows that I am hurting and is doing something to go out of their way
right.
to make me feel good. That is a friend. An acquaintance is more of, I'll see you when I'm in town, or we'll catch up. And it's very, you know, I don't feel safe expressing myself, expressing my feelings. I'll say hi and whatnot, and we can catch up. But it's very, very superficial. That is not a friendship that in this point in my life I am seeking. The more superficial, they don't know anything about me deep. They don't understand what I do at work. They don't understand the more intricate things about me that I want to share with a friend. So I do think, though, Rocky, to go back to what you said with your wife, like, yes, I may not talk to them every day. They may not be a part of my day to day, but I have very close friends that I grew up with that we may only speak once or twice a month, and it still gets deep. And to me, that is still a very close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Where I've had friends in the past where we hardly caught up, or we caught up every once in a while. But again, it was very superficial. It was very like we're skimming, you know, big highlights, and nothing really substantial was being shared between the two of us. And that is just wasted energy for me personally, because again, I am constantly going above and beyond. So I need to, even with those acquaintances, I would be doing things that they were not reciprocating because we weren't at that level.
That's interesting. The acquaintances for me, I feel, are more selfish. Like friends, right. Friends are people who I reciprocate. Yeah, for sure.
Sure. I mean, this sounds like a true philosophical debate, right? Where each philosopher is saying the same basic thing with different verbiage. Yeah. So that's really fantastic. I'm glad we've all gotten our degree apart definition of what a acquaintance and a, well, what the Allman Brothers might call a good time buddy. Yeah. Right? A good time buddy is somebody that, oh, I'm going to be in town. Oh, I'll meet you at the Grain Belt, right? I'll meet you at Kroger's, right? I'll meet you at one of these places. But you're not expecting to see them again for that trip unless right. it's at that bar again.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, I expect my friends come out where I'm staying. Right. Come out and visit. Let's go take a drive. Let's go, you know, talk. Right. If I can't talk to you, if I need to have a beer to talk to you, if we can't just talk about how's work, how you feeling. Right. Those things are very important, because I think to what Stephanie, and to be fair, Rocky, what you said. Right. We need to be able to have this sort of back and forth. Right. Yeah. I feel like I can speak to you. You feel you can speak to me. If both of us aren't feeling that way, if it doesn't feel like it's reciprocated, then that's going to eventually drain the satisfaction out of one party, because mm-hmm. it's no longer equal. It seems almost transactional.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place for a friendship to be. It's a slippery slope, Stephanie, like playing chutes and ladders.
It is. And I think as we get older, we notice, you know, it's a very heartbreaking thing to notice as well. And Trent will tell you, like, friends that, you know, you love and grew up with and have been there for, and they've been there for you. But as we get older, things change. Everyone's priorities change. And that doesn't make this person that was once in your life, or a friendship that you once valued, bad. It just doesn't serve you where you are at right now. And again, with me being just so over the top when it comes to friendships, it can, you know, I worry a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. I worry about people that I haven't seen in 10, 15 years. I'm just by nature a worrier. So for me to put that energy into something, it can get exhausting. And when I don't feel like it's being reciprocated, yeah, that's where the struggle is. But I think also, and I hope Trent would agree with me on this, moving away also gives a very big perspective.
Huge.
Yeah, because that's where you see these friendships that you thought were so strong and valuable, and they get strained when you move away. And that kind of is also sad, but it also shows you kind of who is there and who has been there the entire time.
Right.
So that's been eye-opening, too. I mean, again, I've been here for 11 years, and I can count on one hand how many friends have come down to visit just because they had the weekend off, yeah, or have caught up with me or answered my phone call to catch up, knowing that we're so far away from each other that asking the right questions, how are you doing? It must be tough being on your own. And, you know, getting deeper into that, not just a, hey, what's up? How was your weekend? Okay, cool. Great. Speak to you next month. So I think moving away from where we grew up also has been a factor, you know, and that's getting out of your comfort zone and seeing who's really still there for you during that time.
And I agree, Stephanie, that was a huge point for both of us. And I think, to be fair, that's where we actually got significantly closer, right? We became closer after our high school. But when we both moved away and we ended up speaking more frequently, I remember us kind of having these, especially, I mean, for those that are interested, you can go check out our episode on friendship, Brawless by 8, that we did several years ago. It was a great time. But during those discussions and prior, we kind of came to this conclusion that, like, we had similar feelings when we were there and had almost similar feelings to push us away. Rocky, you also do not live where you began your life. Yet I know that you are the type of individual, like we just spoke about, right? If somebody had a trauma, if somebody's family member passed away, you'd go to support them, because that's what a friend does.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Instead of I've lived a lot of places for shorter amounts of time. So, you know, making friends, you know, I make friends quick. So there, I'd say there's like maybe one person from each place that I've lived that I keep in contact with, one or two people, because, yeah, you make a lot of friends while you're living there. But yeah, when you leave, it's so easy to fall out of contact.
Right. But again, we make time for the people that we care most for.
Yeah.
Right. And when we don't, when we say we don't have time, it kind of illustrates, maybe a little Freudian for a second, right? It kind of illustrates our subconscious feelings on that person. Can I make time for that person? If I'm always too busy for that person, but I have time to like go get a bagel, that was a Long Island Freudian slip. Yeah. if that's what I'm putting my time, then I guess I like bagels more than that person. And what does that say about me?
Well, it says you're not invested in the friendship.
But I am invested in bagels.
But you are invested in bagels.
God, I would die for a good bagel right now.
A wonderful reason to live is also a wonderful reason to die, so says Albert Camus.
I'm starving right now. Yeah, the bagel talk's weighing heavy on my stomach. Yeah, friends are important. Friends are very, very important. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, Steph, with making yourself vulnerable and opening yourself up, because I think the biggest complaint from people is, as you get older, it's harder to make friends. Or, like, it was subconsciously, not to get Freudian, but I think that, you know, also, if people aren't putting themselves out there and being vulnerable, maybe they don't want people in their lives. Maybe they're cool being, you know, just a lone wolf, which there's nothing wrong with any of this. You know, as long as you're being, like, kind to people, you know, and not taking advantage of somebody, I think you're doing okay. But yeah, there's a fine line everywhere. It's gray everywhere. It's not too much black and white.
No, it's all gray. It's all the convergence of both, and such is life. We should be happy to have such a nuanced existence to try to sort through, and to have someone as wonderful as Steph Ashkenazi from Brawlers by Hate to join us.
I know. Steph, do you do stuff intentionally still today to go out and put yourself out there? Are you happy where you're at?
I would say it's a little bit of a mix of both. I am, even before kind of opening up and being open to more friendships and more girlfriends, I do very much value my alone time and my personal space. And it's very important for me to still build in kind of taking care of myself, because I do ignore that a lot. So I do find myself being very selective on how I kind of go out and try to meet new people. I definitely do it with these two wonderful ladies, Sean and Courtney, that do the podcast with me. We try and go out once a week, and they are much more extroverted than me, so it's a little bit easier for me to have conversations out in the wild and make new friends out in the wild. So having more external facing friends that will start that up for me definitely makes it easier. But I do feel good where I am right now. You know, I think it ebbs and flows. Of course, you know, I live by myself. I have a very small group of friends. The loneliness sometimes kicks in. But at the end of the day, again, it's about just being a good person and feeling good about myself, that I need where my focus is at right now. I'm in this point of my life. And so I'll dabble. I'll go meet people out in the wild, but I'm still very selective about who I let into my circle.
Gotcha.
Loneliness activates.
So many inside jokes you guys have. So many years of friendship, which is fantastic. You can tell you have great, great friendship.
We're fortunate. And but again, it's work, right? For anyone who has a friend, it's work. But it's the good type of work, right? It's like the taking your dog for a walk type of work. It's pleasurable. You should be happy to do it. If you're not happy to do it, if you're looking at your phone and you're like, oh man, Damien's calling me, like, then you might want to have a real firm talk with Damien and be like, listen.
Or with yourself.
Right.
With
what, yourself. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Damien's a nice Irish fellow. Why am I being this way?
Nice Irish fellow.
I don't know where you get some of this stuff from. It really blows my mind every time.
Hey, if you are in dire straits and that loneliness kicks in, who's your first call? Is it a friend or a family member?
It is a friend. I consider him a best friend that I've had since college.
Do you know this man, Trent?
I have only heard tell and seen pictures.
Oh,
so you know who I'm. So it's pretty obvious. Yes, my friend Bobby, we went through college together, and it was an awkward time. And he was probably the first person that I felt that I could be vulnerable around in my life.
Wow.
So I've kept that relationship going. And when I do feel lonely or I feel sad or, you know, even the good things, even the great things that happen, he is usually my first phone call because, again, just like Trent, I'm able to start a sentence and I don't have to finish it. He knows exactly where I'm coming from and what I'm trying to say, and has the patience with me to kind of talk through things because I could be all over the place. So he definitely is my number one phone call. Trent, please do not take offense to that. But
he's gone. Trent left.
Trent left. This is Damien.
Trent packed up and drove home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such an amazing conversation. And you have a lot of insight on friendship. And I think you have a lot of great insight on friendship. You know, it seems like you really, really care about people. You know, you're not just saying
Until I don't.
Yeah. But then you don't. And that's when you have the hard conversation with yourself and Damien.
Yeah.
Oh, Damien.
I'm like, some people are going to listen to this and be like,
who's Damien?
Doesn't care. And I'm like, I once did. I once cared.
Who is Damien? Right.
It's all for him, though.
Who Damien is.
It's all for
who
Damien.
Is Damien? Hey, where's the Irishman? Hey,
who's Damien? We're all little Damien.
We're all little Damien.
Steph, you are absolutely the best, and we are so fortunate to have you on. Would you come back sometime and talk to us about other stuff, too?
I whatever you think I'm qualified for, because when you asked me to do this, I was like, you want me to come talk on your, but what am I good at? And I guess it does make sense, the friendship topic, because that is the majority of what Trent and I talk about when we talk. But yes, if there's anything you think I'm qualified to talk about, you don't need to ask me twice. I'll always talk.
Well, catch Steph's podcast On the Couch, Braless by 8, on all of the podcast platforms. And while you're at it, check out some of ours too. Noblest Motive, we love to talk, and we love to talk to you. So make sure you subscribe and stick around and, you know, make sure you make my mama proud.
We get real lonely, all right? So
loneliness activate!
Loneliness activate! Subscribe to Steph's. And subscribe to ours. And remember, folks, that, of course, the noblest motive is the public good.
That's how we're ending it.
That's how we're ending it.
Find the noblest motive on your favorite podcasting platforms. For topic ideas and questions, email podcast@WMAY.com. The Noblest Motive is a production of Midwest Family Springfield.